May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. There is a rule that is well known among writers that is named after Anton Chekhov, the great 19th century Russian playwright and short story writer. The rule, which concerns plot development, is known as Chekhov's gun. The rule derives from the following advice that Chekhov gave an aspiring playwright. He said, "In the first act, if you hang a pistol on the wall, then in the following act, it should be fired. Otherwise, don't put it there." The observant among you may be wondering if you have to take cover since I bring up the business of Chekhov's gun at the beginning of my sermon this morning. Does that mean that it's going to go off before it's done? Well, as you well know, I'm not that kind of minister. I bring up Chekhov's gun because I'm interested this morning to find examples of actions that are incomplete unless another action follows. Some actions are like this. They don't make sense without a follow-up action. You plant a seed, you have to be willing to water it. If you get a puppy, you better be willing to walk it. A nice fancy car is nice, but it won't get you anywhere unless you fill it with gas. Brush teeth, rinse mouth. Grind coffee beans, add hot water. Merge onto the highway, better check that rearview mirror first. If you brush your teeth without rinsing, you might get away with it, but if you merge onto I-91 without checking your rearview mirror for oncoming trucks, you could kill yourself and a bunch of other people too. As a father of teenage boys, I find myself invoking this principle rather frequently. One of the things that I often hear myself saying is, if you make a mess, clean it up. To be fair, one of my sons is obsessively clean, and the other one is, well, not obsessively clean. I think I would be abusing my confidentiality if I told you which one is which, so we'll just leave it at that. One day recently, after a despairing glance at one of the bedrooms, I won't tell you which one, I remarked in my best preachy voice, "Human civilization is engaged in the eternal struggle to impose order on chaos, and you, young man, seem to have already lost the fight." Hear that? It was, by my standards, one of my finer moments, but my son was unimpressed, quite naturally. The episode brings to mind the words that Jesus said to Nicodemus in the passage that we have just heard this morning. "The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear its sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes." To mature in human life, in this human life of ours, is to become increasingly aware that things are impermanent and unpredictable at their core. We are, at all times, a hair's breadth away from events that could either spell instant death or utter and complete life change. The wind blows where it chooses. We like to think that we can put our house in order and keep chaos at bay. But ultimately, we have very little control over what happens in our lives. Our lives are like the wind. We can hear the sound of it, but we do not know where it comes from or where it goes. Tomorrow, of course, is Memorial Day, and Memorial Day is the day when we, as a nation, set aside time to honor the many people from many generations who have died in the service of our nation's military. The word memorial is, of course, built on the word memory. And this is what we do on Memorial Day. We remember. To remember is memory in action. Isn't it funny, though? Usually, words that start with the prefix re, R-E, are compound words like, say, renew. This is one of Cynthia's favorite words, right? Renew. Renegotiate. Refinance. If you take the word, if you take the R-E off the front, you have a word that has its own meaning. So renew modifies new, of course, yes. Relocate modifies locate. Adding the prefix re modifies the original action by making the action happen again, right? So to finance your house again is to refinance, and to negotiate your contract again is to renegotiate. According to this logic, the word remember is a bit odd. It should be re-memory. And as it turns out, that is exactly what remember means. It means to have a memory again. So on Memorial Day, we don't just have a memory, we have a memory again. We acknowledge that certain memories lay a claim on us that are important enough to have again and again and again every year. And if you ask me, this remembering is part of that eternal struggle that I mentioned earlier, human civilization's eternal struggle to impose order on chaos. Now, I have to admit at this juncture of the proceedings that I come at the whole Memorial Day phenomenon from a little bit of a different angle than many Americans. I can start by affirming that, yes, I do honor the Americans who gave their lives in war. But I cannot stop there. As I see it, this important act of re-memory is the first action. It is the planting of the seed. And another action must follow. Another action to water that seed. As you know, my father was Japanese and my mother was American. I am the child of two individuals whose peoples were locked in one of the most bitter conflicts of human history. My father's people were in the plains above Pearl Harbor, and my mother's people were on the ships in Pearl Harbor. My mother's people were in the plain above Hiroshima, and my father's people were on the ground when the atomic bomb exploded. I am the result of this historical legacy. So Memorial Day is a little complicated for me. I can honor America. I can sing of its beauty. I can honor the ideals of freedom and democracy. I can honor the sacrifice that our men and women in armed services have made protecting these things that America stands for. But don't ask me to suggest that war itself is a human endeavor that should be glorified. I can't do that. Don't ask me to pretend that every time our nation has deployed our military, we have done so in a manner that properly honors the ideals that our country stands for. I can't do that either. Well, I hope you will not think that I am against any person who is in the military. I'm not anti-military. I'm anti-war. Just as the son of a Jewish mother and a German father must be painfully aware of genocide, I, as the son of an American woman and a Japanese man, am painfully aware of the horror of war, and in particular, of course, nuclear war. To a person like me, Memorial Day is important, but it cannot only be about remembering the dead, for that is perilously close to glorifying war itself. Honoring the soldiers is the first important action that we must observe on Memorial Day. The second action that gives sense to the first action, is to abhor the reason for their death. The greatest thing that the observance of Memorial Day could ever achieve would be to make itself obsolete. If a man dies of a heroin overdose, we do not glorify the heroin. Likewise, a true observance of Memorial Day should honor the dead soldier without glorifying the war that killed him or her. Memorial Day should be a serious affair, one that causes the soul searching necessary to end war itself. This is an act that is worth repeating again and again every year until we get it right. Amen.